Online shopping is easy and convenient, and the Gun Dealio smartphone app makes it inexpensive, too. Deals on guns, ammunition, holsters, optics, lasers, and more, available day and night. Load the Gun Dealio Apple or Android app today at GunDealio.com.
All right, welcome back to Gun Talk. Tom Gresham here. I have to admit, we just did something yesterday that in some states would have been against the law. Oh, my gosh. We took our youngsters out, 7-year-old, 10-year-old out, shoot sporting clays. 10-year-old was shooting a little Mossberg pump. We don't own the Mossberg pump. We borrowed it from a friend. And here's what's interesting. If we lived in a state that had the so-called universal background checks, that would actually be a crime. For that person to loan us a gun to let this 10-year-old girl go out and shoot this little shotgun without going through a federal background check with the FBI, to loan this gun for her to go shoot safely, that is a crime in some states. Unbelievable. And for those who say, well, I don't mind the background check, well, you should. If you look at what a universal, so-called universal background check is, it basically just bans the private sale of guns and the private transfer of guns, and many times even the loaning of a gun to a friend, so a 10-year-old could go have a chance for her to shoot. Just the realities of it. You got to keep yourself informed. By the way, our number here is 866-TALK-GUN, and it is Gun Talk. If you'd like to join us, of course, give me a holler. We're always open lines around here. It is a chance for us to talk about what's going on in the gun world, and it has sure been a weird, like everything else in 2020, it's been weird for gun stores, gun owners, gun buyers, gun manufacturers. Somebody who knows a lot about that joins us right now, Kevin Wilson from galleryofguns.com. Hey, Kevin, 2020, just about as weird as it gets, huh?
It has been a ride, Tom. I don't know how to describe it.
I mean, for those who don't know, Gallery of Guns is a division of Davidson's. You guys are firearms distributors. For those, you know, in the two-step process, gun makers sell guns to you, you sell guns to gun stores. But you also have the Gallery of Guns where individuals can go find guns on your website and order them. They go to a local gun store and all the paperwork's done, the background checks are done. Except right now, we're all going, where are all the guns, man?
Dude, they have been eaten up all year long. It's been a struggle. Anytime demand spikes like this, and we've seen it before, but never quite like this year. You know, it taxes the manufacturers, the distributors, the gun dealers. But we've stepped up our game this year, and we've managed to keep our dealers supplied pretty well.
Well, and I know you get the same comments I get, and there are people who are understandably frustrated, sometimes angry, and then you get the weird rumors or comments like, well, you know, have the gun makers just stopped making guns? And of course, you work with all the gun makers. Yeah, so what are you hearing from the gun makers?
Well, the thing is, everybody, understandably, is trying to be as safe as possible during this COVID pandemic.
Right.
So you're getting some supply problems. You have employees that, you know, you got to keep social distancing. We've got probably over half our sales force working from home.
Mm.
But all the manufacturers have stepped up. They're running three shifts, 7 days a week where possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that demand has been so high. You think about a factory, they schedule this stuff a year in advance.
Yes.
So, you know, if all of a sudden demand quintuples, they can't quintuple production to match that.
They can't even get the raw materials. I mean, because they're ordering that a year out.
Exactly. A lot of times, and what we're hearing now, if you think about it, every gun that gets made gets test fired. Well, a manufacturer is running into the same ammo problems everybody else is.
You know, people don't think about that. But, yeah, if they're going to have to do test firing and if there's no ammo available, that actually slows down their ability to turn out guns.
Exactly. And everybody in the industry is just I've just been amazed at, we just look at new ways of doing things, different ways of doing things, and keeping that supply line going.
Well, so how do you do that? How do you keep the supply lines running?
Well, you just find different sources, especially of the raw materials. All the raw material manufacturers have stepped up production. Mm-hmm. And you try to do it, like I say, during this year, you're doing it as safely as possible for your employees. But I've just been amazed by the response of all the manufacturers stepping things up. And if it means adding employees, adding shifts, finding alternative sources of raw materials, we're just doing everything we can.
Yep, yep, exactly. So tell me, what's going on with Gallery of Guns these days?
Gallery of Guns, we're still kicking it. We've added, one big thing we've done this year is step up of our blog. And what we do there, especially this year, mm-hmm. we're bringing a lot of educational and informational videos and articles for all these first-time gun owners, because, you know, there's been millions of people this year that have bought guns for the very first time.
Yes.
And we see it as our responsibility in the industry to both welcome them and educate them and get them trained to safely handle firearms.
Yeah, in fact, I just went on your website, galleryofguns.com, and clicked on the first-time gun buyers, and it looks like you're doing some work with Ruger on some of the videos there. Of, you know, the one that I like, I'm looking at Mark Gurney doing one on range etiquette, and that's one of the things that people may not know about. They've been told be safe, but they don't know what the etiquette part is. I remember people asking me, look, when I go to first-time gun owners, right? Well, when I go to the range, do I load my gun in the parking lot, and what do I do? And you're going, whoa, we need to start way, way back at the beginning, don't we?
Yeah, and we encourage everybody to seek out training or instructors, and your local gun dealer can help you find these people. But, you know, if you've never been to a range, you don't know what to do.
Right.
But you need to get there so you can practice and train. So we've got videos from Ruger. Smith & Wesson does a series called Gun Smart. We do our own in-house videos, and it's all geared towards helping you learn what we all already love to do.
Well, exactly. So, I mean, but I know people are yelling at the radio right now saying, well, Tom, ask him, where are the guns? Do you guys actually have guns that you can supply to gun stores these days?
Oh, we absolutely do. What people don't realize, though, let's say we receive, you know, 1,000 guns, they're going to be sold in about a half an hour. And
Whoa. So
it's in one door and out the other.
Nothing sleeps still, overnight in the warehouse.
No, not at all. Not these days. But we still have a good supply of firearms. You're not going to find on Gallery Guns, you're not going to be able to get a Glock 19 because they're just sold so fast.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sporting guns, you were talking about sporting clay, shotguns.
Right.
We still have all of that. But what we encourage people to do, if you can't find what you're looking for on our site, there's a tab there called Retailer Search. And mm-hmm. it'll show you all the Gallery Guns dealers in your area. Mm. Well, that's where those guns probably are.
Oh, okay. So you put in your zip code, and you can search gun stores in your area to see who has it.
Yep.
Huh, okay.
And if it shows up as out of stock on our website, mm-hmm. it's probably because we just sold them to those dealers.
Okay, is there a way that, I mean, what should they do then? Contact those dealers and say, look, if you don't have it, put me on the list, or go ahead and put an order in for it, that kind of thing?
Yeah, a lot of gun dealers will do that, put you on a waiting list. And when we get some more available, you know, they'll mark you down and order it from us, call you up, and say, hey, it's on the way. But
okay.
We still have thousands of firearms that the consumer can order from Gallery Guns to have them shipped directly to that dealer.
Okay, so you can go on the Gallery of Guns website. You can order a gun. It gets shipped to your local dealer. And you guys make it easy. You got it set up. They can find a local dealer through your website. And, I mean, how long does that process generally take?
No more than about 3 days.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes much less. Because that's one thing we've done. We've really ramped up our warehouse staff and accounting and customer service and everything because we don't want to turn from a 48-hour source to a 2-week source.
Right.
So during all this year, you know, we might have been delayed a day or two, but it's still going to be at your dealer probably 2-3 days top.
Okay. So you just go to the website, you click on the one you want. If it's in stock, and a lot of them are, of course, showing out of stock, but if it's in stock, then you can order it and have it sent to your local store. What do you do if you find something there and it's listed as being out of stock? Is there a way that you can get on a list with Gallery of Guns?
We do have a stock watch feature.
Ah, okay.
We turned that off for a few months this year. And the reason being, those guns come in, and by the time you get that email, it's already sold.
Ah, yeah.
So that will be coming back as inventory increases. But if you see something that's out of stock that you're looking for, I would encourage you to call your local retailer because it may be we're out of stock because we shipped it to them already.
Sure. That makes sense. Perfectly makes sense. Okay, cool. Anything else you need to share with people about what's going on over at your part of the world?
Well, I would still keep a sharp eye on our exclusives. We've ramped that up again this year. We're doing stuff with Baron Engraving, with Altamont, automated finishing. We're doing engraved gloss, special editions, a whole bunch of Colt 1911s. This is something we do all the time, and this year has not kept us from doing that.
Okay, and those are guns that you can't find anywhere else. Those are exclusive to you guys.
Exactly.
Very cool. Kevin Wilson, thank you so much. I appreciate you sharing it. And look, we're all going to get through this. We'll come out on the other side of this thing.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me, Tom.
All righty. You take care. Galleryofguns.com. Check it out there. All right. We're open lines now. 866-TALK-GUN. Give me a holler. I'm Tom Gresham. We'll be right back with more gun talk.
FN-509 Compact Tactical. From its 24-round mag and cold hammer forged stainless steel barrel to our patented low-profile optics mounting system and fully ambidextrous controls, it's simply hard to beat. And you know what they say, if you can't beat it, you may as well carry it. The FN-509 Compact Tactical. Carry the future from the innovators behind the world's most battle-proven firearms. Visit FNAmerica.com to learn more.
Striking out on your gun search? Visit galleryofguns.com for inventory updated daily. Thousands of in-stock guns, a weekly gun giveaway, and access to multiple dealers in your area. Sign up to receive email alerts when new guns are stocked. Plus, every new gun purchased at Gallery of Guns is covered by the Guaranteed Lifetime Replacement Program. Visit galleryofguns.com. That's galleryofguns.com.
It's time for a thanks giveaway. Grand prizes include the Daniel Defense DD-M4 V7 in 5.56 NATO or the Brownells BRN 180S Gen 2 Complete Upper in 300 Blackout, paired with a custom double star lower receiver with strong arm pistol brace for easy compact storage. 8 first prize winners will receive either a Hodgdon product voucher or a gift certificate to Timney Triggers. Enter now through December 4th at guntalk.com/win.
For more than 70 years, Timney Triggers has been enhancing the shooter's experience. Whether it's a local competition, a day at the range, or even the hunt of a lifetime, setting the standard in aftermarket triggers, Timney is now producing more than 170 models of triggers for bolt-action rifles, shotguns, AR rifles, and semi-automatic rifles. Proudly made in the USA since 1946. Find your new trigger at TimneyTriggers.com.
were just talking about all these first-time gun buyers. Millions and millions of people bought their first gun. They don't have anybody to show them the way. And I have some ideas about that. They're starting to percolate, and we'll be talking about that in the future. But some people are already on this and doing things and not waiting for anybody to encourage them. Mike's one of those. He's called in on line 5 out of Galveston, Texas. Hey, Mike, welcome, and I really want to hear this story.
Very good. Tom, before I tell the story, I wanted to mention I was listening last week, tried to call in, couldn't get in. I enjoyed hearing the president of Kimber on the show, and I wanted to tell you I'm the proud owner of the GT-10.
Ooh, you know, it's interesting. I didn't think about it when he was on. I should have mentioned that the very first Gun Talk gun that we produced was done with Kimber. It was the GT-10 to commemorate, well, it was a 10 millimeter. You have one of those.
Right.
That's a gorgeous pistol.
I was a 10 millimeter guy before 10 millimeter was fashionable.
So do you shoot it, or is it a collector, or do you shoot it?
Oh, no, I go out and shoot it periodically.
Good. It shoots
fact,
well.
It does. I qualified with that when I was getting my concealed handgun license, which brings me to the story.
Okay.
I've had my CHL for probably 8, 9, 10 years now, and my wife, she shoots periodically, but she wanted to get her CHL, and my next-door neighbor and her were talking out on the back porch one evening, and they said, well, let's do that. And so they thought, well, maybe there's some other people in the community here. We live in a subdivision about 210 houses here.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I'll get you guys on track. So I tracked down a female instructor. I knew I couldn't do it. They
okay.
wouldn't listen to me.
All right.
So anyhow, I got all the details. I got all the qualifications they needed, you know, as far as the type of guns and all the paperwork and fingerprints and all that business. The instructor sent me an email. I turned it over to the gals. They put it out on their little email thing or
right.
whatever.
Their group.
Bottom line, on Halloween, the 31st, then we had 6 ladies and 1 guy attend the class. And they all qualified, and my wife just got a letter from the Texas Department of Safety, whatever, saying that they're in the process of printing her license and sending it over. So we had 6 gals and 1 guy go through the class, and they're all set. They're all excited. A couple of ladies went out and bought guns. I had to go out and buy my wife a new gun. Her little Kimber Micro wasn't feeding quite right, so we got her a Smith & Wesson Easy Shield.
Oh,
9mm.
Nice. That's a nice pistol.
And it certainly is. She qualified with that. But anyhow, we got 6 ladies in our subdivision now, and we got a bunch of pistol packing mamas here in this area.
All right, I got 2 thoughts I want to share with you about this. Well, 3. First of all, it's a huge attaboy. Thank you for doing that. That's huge. And then secondly, I'm thinking that we don't want to just leave them with, you've taken your class and now you're good. And because they have this group that they've had this shared experience with, I would have them, have you encourage your wife, encourage them, well, let's all go to the range once a month and do a little shooting, just as a group. I'll bet you they would love to do that.
That's a great idea, and I'll follow up on that. Wait, so their licenses should be showing up in the mail any day, but it's finding the ammo around here is a real challenge, I must say.
It is. And I understand that. But, you know, sometimes you can even – sometimes if you go to a range, they'll say, look, if you go to our range and buy our ammo, you know, we can sell you each
right.
a box of ammo, that kind of a thing.
That's true. We got to have a municipal range not more than 10 minutes from our subdivision, but they don't sell ammo.
Okay.
So, but
well,
anyhow – But at any rate, we'll figure that one out. We can get it. It's kind of expensive, though, but compared to what it was when you were telling everybody to buy this stuff.
I know. It's expensive. And I just bought more 5.56 and paid a lot more than I was paying a year ago. But, you know, it's kind of like those of us who've been around a while were saying, yeah, but I remember when a car cost X. And you go, yeah, that was then. That didn't have anything to do with what it is now, does it?
Yeah, exactly. But I would encourage all the guys that got their license and are gun guys to go out and see if they can, you know, put something together for their little community and get all the ladies out there with a concealed carry license.
I think it's a great idea. Mike, again, thank you. Attaboy, terrific job. And, yeah, see if you can encourage them to start doing like a regular monthly go out shoot, maybe a ladies shoot, something. Maybe even schedule with this instructor they had. Say, look, can we go out and do like a two-hour thing with you once a month just to kind of tune us up? They would all love it. It would be really, really worthwhile because, as you know, the class is good, but it's not enough. They just need a lot of trigger time and a lot of time on task.
They're already talking to the instructor about that, taking some more lessons.
There you go. Thank you so much. Well done. All right. And, hey, if you got 200 and something houses in the neighborhood, you still got a lot of people that you need to talk to. So spread it out. Keep doing it.
This is a real gun-toting community here. You wouldn't believe it.
Yes, I would, too. Galveston, Texas, I absolutely would. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. Man, very cool stuff, huh? How do you like that? I also have an idea, a question for you. Things just start to percolate in my head. If you had the help, the direction, would you be willing to help get people started at being safe with their guns, new people? Just got an idea, just starting to work on it. I just don't know how many people would be willing to help if we made it easy. I'm trying to make it easy for everybody, for the people who are helping and the people who are wanting to do it. So just, I don't know, just it's kind of noodling at this point. Or if you've actually helped people get started, tell us that story. 866-TALK-GUN. Gun Talk will return. All right, back with you. 866-TALK-GUN will get you in here. Yes, we talk about guns here because, well, that's what we do. ammo, pistols, rifles, shotguns, sights, lasers, slings. We'll talk about slings a little bit later on. Underappreciated. One of the comments that I really liked when I was taking a carbine class, carbine being an AR-15, said a sling on your rifle is the equivalent of a holster for your handgun. It gives you a place to put it when you need your hands for something else. So that was very well put. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Let's see. John's with us out of Reno on 3. He's got an interesting thing. John, what do you have there?
Hey, well, I got two things I want to ask you about.
Sure.
First of all, I want to say I agree with your 3 guns for your guy in New Mexico.
Okay.
But what I've got here is I bought a bunch of ammo yesterday at a garage sale, all in a big bag. Hmm. And one of them on the head, it says REM-UMC-250HP. Can you tell me anything about that?
Well, is that on the box or that's on the head stamp of the cartridge?
The head stamp, but there was no boxes. It was all in a bag. You know?
Okay, just loose ammo. Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, Remington UMC, that's the brand name of the company that loaded the ammo. So, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, you're a gun guy. Is it a rifle cartridge? Is it a handgun cartridge? What are we talking about?
No, it's a rifle cartridge, and I'm thinking just looking at it, it looks like maybe a 250 Savage or something of that sort.
Oh, it could be a 250 Savage. 250 high power, I'm thinking. Let me see.
Yeah, well,
that,
250
okay,
HP.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Let me see. It could be a Savage 250. Because I was wondering from the description if this was some kind of a handgun cartridge, like with a 250 grain hollow point. But 250, let me see. I'm typing this in to see if I can find out for sure. Yeah, the 250, 3000. Does the ammo look really old?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. Oh, wait, here we go. Just found it. Guy says, picked up a box of Remington UMC 250 ammo on the internet. It says 250 HP. And, yeah, it looks like that is 250. Yeah, that's what it is, 250-3000 ammo. They made some with the 250 HP head stamp. So that's what you have. You were right. It is a Savage 250. That's exactly what it is.
Okay, now I got another one.
Sure.
On the head stamp, it says WRA Company 30 Army. Now I wonder I'm sure that's a 30-06, and I'm wondering if that is okay to shoot in my Garand.
Ooh, I don't know, man. A Garand's a pretty nice rifle, and I would be darn careful about just somebody else's ammo that is loose. You don't know if it's a factory load or if it's been reloaded.
That's correct. Yeah.
I would not shoot that. And I'm not going to shoot any ammo that I get from somebody that might be reloads from somebody I don't know. It's interesting just to have it. I mean, I might pull bullets from it, but I wouldn't be shooting it. I mean, that's just me. But you sure would hate to mess up a really nice Garand, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I understand you can't use a lot of factory 30-06 ammo in a Garand.
That is correct. That's right. You're exactly right. So, Jim's saying, do you reload? I mean, you could pull the bullets from the stuff and just salvage it that way, or you could sell them to somebody who reloads or give them to somebody who reloads, and they could pull the bullets and just get the components out of them.
Yeah, I have a friend that does, so that's probably what I'll do.
Yeah, I think I would, and just tell him, look, I wouldn't shoot these. You just pull the components out. He could pull the bullets, use the brass. He wants to throw away the powder, because you don't know what powder's in there, and you cannot tell by looking at reloading powder what it is. I don't care what anybody says, you can't tell. So you just need to throw that away, and actually sprinkling it out there on the lawn or in the rose bushes works great because it's nitrogen fertilizer.
Okay, here's another question.
Sure.
Primers are hard to come by. I'm just wondering, after you empty the powder out of one of these, if you just fired it in a weapon and it worked, would you trust them, or would you just discard those also?
It's tempting to say I would just go ahead and use the primers, but because we don't know what's there, how long, how old they are, I would probably not. And I'm glad you asked, because here's the thing. You do not want to be decapping, knocking out primers that are live primers. So those, you want to find a gun you can put them into and fire them to, without the bullet and the powder, just shoot the primers, because I don't want to be trying to decap live primers, in a reloading die. So, and obviously if you're just shooting primers, you still are pointing guns in safe directions. But those, all the rules always apply. But, yeah, I would say if it were me, I'd try to find a gun, a 250 Savage or whatever you have, and fire just the primers, so then the reloader, and this is something your buddy who reloads will know, but you do not try to decap live primers, because you could actually set them off trying to knock a primer out. I appreciate the call, sir. I got to keep scooting here. Tell you what, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we got John lined up. We're going to get to you, but we have room if you'd like to call us right now. It's very easy. Just call me at Tom Talk Gun, and that's what we'll do. We'll talk guns.
Raise your firearms to a better way of buying your silencer. We are Silencer Central, creators of a revolutionary process in which headaches and hassles are forever silenced by simplicity and common sense. It's a process that begins with paperwork without the work and ends with delivery right to your front door. Learn more about Silencer Central's easy buying process at silencercentral.com or call 888-781-8778.
Are you looking for a place to shoot? The National Shooting Sports Foundation has a great website called wheretoshoot.org. It's the largest database of shooting ranges on the internet. It's also a great resource for shooters where you can find video tips, printable targets, and a lot more. Find it online at wheretoshoot.org. And while you're there, download their free iPhone app. That's wheretoshoot.org.
The Smith & Wesson M&P 380 Shield Easy Pistol revolutionized personal protection with its easy-to-use design. Now, enter the M&P Shield Easy in 9mm. Built for personal and home protection, the Smith & Wesson M&P 9 Shield Easy Pistol features the same easy-to-rack, easy-to-load, and easy-to-shoot design of the M&P Shield Easy series. Available at a retailer near you. Find out more at smith-wesson.com.
If you'd like to join us, it's pretty easy. Just call me at 866-TALK-GUN or Tom-TALK-GUN. If you have a gun that you purchased recently, I'd like to know what you bought and also why. What are you going to do with it? Are you a collector or what are you going to do? Speaking of that, John is in Claremore, Oklahoma with a question for us. Shooter or collector? What are we talking about here, John?
Yeah, hi, Tom. I had a short comment that doesn't have a whole lot to do with much, but when you asked the previous caller whether his gun was a shooter or a collector item, I was reminded of a friend of mine who has several collector's items, and I've asked him that same question. And his comment to me was, I'm going to treat them like Alcoholics Anonymous treats drink. I'm going to shoot them, just not today.
I never heard that one before. Well, and, you know, for those who are wondering, and I know you understand this, John, is that some guns, if it's completely unfired, never been fired, and if you are collecting it and you are hoping that it goes up in value, you want to sell it at some point, firing the gun can reduce its value. Now, having said that,
even turning the cylinder on a revolver can damage the resale value.
That's correct if you scratch that cylinder. But
right.
If it's already been shot, then you say, well, is it going to hurt it to shoot it a little bit? Probably
right.
Not. And I have never, I'm trying to think, do I own any guns that have not been shot? No, I do not. And I know I own a couple of guns, and they're all shooters. I'm just not an investor. I'm not a collector of guns. And even, you know what, even the people I know who invest in guns, most of them have shooters. They just buy better quality stuff. I mean, the cheap stuff that I buy, you know, it's not going to go up in value. It might hold its value fairly well. But, you know, when you start buying high-end guns or the guys who really are smart at it, they actually get into machine guns because there is a finite number of those and it's not going to go up as far as what we can own. So that those values are going to continue to go up. And they shoot them. They, you know, they're not like just sitting there. But heck, they're all military guns, so they've all been shot anyway, right?
Right.
So, what are you a shooter or a collector yourself?
I'm not really a collector. Everything I buy is a shooter. Some of the better quality ones I might not shoot as often, but I tend to buy anything that's a bargain.
Yeah, and I know what you mean. And not a lot of bargains out there right now, though.
True.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I appreciate the call, sir. Yeah, collector or shooter? That's an interesting question. I do want to get to Ted on two out of Billings because he's got a correction for us here to help us out. Ted, help me out here about this caller, the fellow who had the 30 caliber.
30 caliber Army. And
yep.
That's an old antiquated name for the 30-40 Craig.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it used to be commonly referred to as 30 Army, and that was, I think, probably about the time it first came out. So I wouldn't put a 30-40 Craig in an M1.
Well, saying. I don't know that you could get it to go off, but yeah, I wouldn't put it in there anyway. Who wants to anyway, try, right? So I did not know that.
That was a term that used to apply to the 30-40 Craig, and that was when it was the standard military issue round.
Right.
It's what, Spanish-American War, maybe? I don't know. Long, long time ago.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Spanish-American War, and wasn't long after that. Then we ended up with the 30-03, and then the 30-06.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know about the 30-03. It was the precursor to the 30-06.
Right. But the 30 Army is actually 30-40 Craig.
Interesting. So, how do you know that? What's your background in shooting?
I love old guns. My favorite go-to gun for most every hunting application is my .45-70, which I still think of as a military round. So guns.
What rifle?
The .45-70?
Yeah.
That's my trusty old... My trusty old Marlin .45-70.
Okay. 1895. Yeah.
When they were still in Connecticut, it's got the fantastic barrel on it, and it's just I've worked up a couple pet loads for it, and it's just I love that round.
I have one of those, and they shoot great. I mean, even with just an aperture sight, I have no problem doing 3 inches at 100 yards with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, should be doing better than that, but
well, it probably will. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can, but I know it will.
Well, I'm not sure I can with my young eyes anymore either. But I did fit it out with a globe front sight and a vernier tang sight, and
with a
small enough aperture in the cup, I can. That gun with a reasonable load will usually do an inch and a half groups at 100.
Yeah, I have to admit, what I did is I put a Williams peep sight on the back, and then I unscrewed the aperture and threw it away. And so it's like an early model Ghost Ring sight that I made
exactly,
35 or 40 years ago with that thing. And, you know, it's fast and it's accurate enough if you're hunting deer at 100 yards and inside. But, yeah, a lot of people, you know, it's interesting. I bet a lot of people today don't know that the .45-70 was a military cartridge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it's funny. My first gun that I ever owned that was my own was a 303 Enfield with the peep sight on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the gun I cut my teeth on. So it just imprinted on me the concept of peep sights, you know, of aperture sights. I just,
right.
They to me, they're just a natural.
All right. Help me out. Start with the .45-70 and run through the various military rifle cartridges that the U.S. military has used since the .45-70.
Oh, for crying out loud, I didn't know there was going to be a quiz.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to do this together. Okay, so we had that. We had the 30-40 Craig. What, 30-06?
Well, 30-06, yeah, that was, you know, the Springfield's, what, World War One.
Right.
I think the .06 was the... Was the next step after the 30-40 Craig. I'm not sure that the 30-03 was ever an actual.
I don't know. And then, of course, we got the 308 after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 5.56, we went down to a 22 caliber. From a 45 caliber, we worked our way all the way down to a 22 caliber.
Yeah. And the 30 carbine would have been in there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I had forgot the 30 carbine. Exactly right. Very cool stuff. Ted, thank you for the call. We kind of wandered down memory lane there, and you helped me out with an item, which, hey, I get by with a little help from my friends, and I appreciate it. If you got a correction or you just think I'm full of beans, you may be right about that, too. 866-TALK-GUN. If you hate guns, call me and tell me why. I'm curious. We'll even just let you have the floor for a little while. 866-TALK-GUN. it's awfully fun to talk about accuracy in rifles. And that's a big deal. I mean, we're building better rifles all the time. But I had a thought of a way to make your rifle more accurate without getting a new rifle, without doing anything to it. It is, after all, a system, is it not? You have the rifle, you have the cartridge, trigger, barrel, the optic, scope, if you're using a scope. The rest, are you taking a rest? The reality is, the weak point in the whole system, for most of us, is the nut behind the butt plate. That would be the shooter. Me. You. We're just not as good as we should be. And I know there are a lot of people out there who are really good shots. And they can sit at a bench and they can hit a steel target at 1,000 yards. Cool. Fun. Challenging. No doubt. I get it. But I'm thinking right now in terms of it's November and hunting seasons are open everywhere and people are posting pictures of their deer they're getting and antelope and their elk and everything. And for a lot of that, you don't get a real solid rest. For a lot of that, you're shooting, leaning over a bush or sleeping bag or resting on a backpack or sitting down. Shooting from a sitting position or shooting from a prone position or whatever. One of the problems is if all you ever do is shoot from a bench, you're not used to what that's like. And what do I mean by that? Well, you're not used to seeing crosshairs move. What do they call it? Arm acceptable reticle movement. That's what the guys at FTW Ranch were calling it. You have to let the reticle, the crosshairs move around and be okay with that. And the way you do that is to shoot a lot with a moving reticle. Well, what do I mean? Well, shoot standing up. Well, okay, you don't have to shoot, though. Here's the amazing part. You don't have to shoot. You can do almost all of this with dry firing. If you have a target you're using, I don't care if you're in your basement or someplace, you crank your scope down to the lowest power so you can actually see a target. Make sure your gun's unloaded, triple check it. And now you're shooting from a standing position, you're shooting from a kneeling position, from a sitting position, from a prone position. You practice with your hunting rifle slung over your shoulder, and then you say, okay, I just saw a big deer, and I have 5 seconds to get off my shot. And you practice getting the rifle off your shoulder and up to your, from the sling on your shoulder, and putting the gun on your shoulder and getting a sight picture and pressing the trigger even though the crosshairs are still moving. The reality is you're probably not wobbling off of a deer-sized target at a reasonable distance. And if you are, it just means you need a better rest. If you're shooting offhand, standing up, and you're wobbling all over the place and you're off the animal, then sit down. Or go down to prone, lay down on your belly. And these are things you can practice. You can dry fire. You can just keep snapping, click, 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 work the bolt, snap, click. And oh yeah, here's the other thing. Every time you pull the trigger, work the bolt immediately. Work the bolt immediately. It's like click, work the bolt. Click, work the bolt. Every time. Because you never know when you're going to need that follow-up shot, and you want to drill it so that when you press the trigger, you work the bolt immediately every single time. I will guarantee you that if you will spend 10 minutes doing dry firing every evening, you will actually become a much, much better practical shot in the field. And your chances of getting your deer are going to go up seriously. But, you know, learn to use a sling, too. In fact, you know what, come back. We'll talk a little bit more about slings. Underappreciated, but important. 866-TALK-GUN. Gun Talk will return.